Welcome to church. We've been in a series called Welcome to the New. Amen. Welcome to the new. That I believe God always wants to do a new thing in your life. That his mercy is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Amen. He's got new plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. We serve a God that does super abundantly above all that you could dare ask or think of. Welcome to the new. Today I want to talk to you about the new you and a new family. I want to talk to you about a new you and a new family. Have you ever wanted to start a new life or start over? Right? When I was little, there was this amazing thing called the Nintendo. Everybody remember when the first Nintendo came out? It took me forever to get my dad to buy me one, but I finally got one. And, you know, you'd be playing the Nintendo, you'd be playing Super Mario Brothers or whatever game you were playing. And, yeah, you remember that thing? Yeah, I love that thing. That was my, yeah. How many of you played that when you were young? Okay, you're going to date yourself. Amen. Good. We're all together here today. Yeah. Hey, if you're watching online, we're so glad that you're here. Welcome to AO Church. And you're a part of this family. You know, and through life, when we go through life, like you, maybe, I know like me, there's been many times in my life where I wanted to just start over, where I wanted to hit the reset button. You know, where you thought, man, I thought I was going to be in this place, or I thought things were going to work out to be like this. I had this dream of the white picket fence, and maybe I'm not there yet. Maybe it hasn't happened. I thought I'd already be at a certain place in my life. I would have already had a yacht and a helicopter, especially if you live in Miami. You know, where's my Rolls Royce? It's not here yet. All these dreams that we've had, and then you go through these ups and downs in life, and it's like a video game. You wish you could just hit the reset button. You know, when we'd play video games, it's like, okay, we had three lives, and you're going through the game, and you died quickly, and you're like, okay, I'm going to hit the reset button, start over, right? And maybe you're playing the game with a friend, and it's like, and before he wins, you hit the reset button and start over. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Oops, I hit the reset. I love that reset button. And you just start again. I believe that God wants to hit the reset button in your life today, and you're going to start over today. That today could be a new day, a new beginning, a new start for you. A new you can start today. I love playing pickleball. How many of you play pickleball? It's a new craze. I don't know how it came, but, you know, I like it's a smaller court. You know, you don't have to move as much, you know, especially with long arms you can cover. And I was playing with Vanessa and some of the team the other day, and there was this thing called a redo. You remember redos when you grew up? I don't know, we were playing pickleball, and all of a sudden, Vanessa, because she's a woman, got a redo. She would hit the ball, and it didn't go in, and, oh, I get a redo. Oh, okay. Remember back in the old days, we got redos. You're playing volleyball, and it's like, oh, it hit the net. Let me get a redo. How many of you would like to redo some things in your life? I think God wants to restart, redo, reconnect, start a new you. Can begin today. We're going to hit the reset button. I had a basketball coach a long time ago tell me, Eric, it's never too late to make things right with God. It's never too late to start over. And today is a day of new beginnings. That's why we're in this series called Welcome to the New. Amen. God invented the original reset, the original do-over. Adam and Eve messed it all up, and he just hit the reset button. And I don't know what you've done wrong in your life, the mistakes you've made. Maybe you walked with God. Maybe you never even had a chance yet, and you just messed it all up like they did. They were even with him in the flesh, and they still messed it up. You might have just heard about him and started to pursue him, and you messed it all up. Hey, it's okay. Adam and Eve are a great example. If he could forgive them, he could forgive you 2,000 years later. God invented the reset. And today, he can reset your life, and it can become a new identity for you. Amen. I got this box. You know, you get these boxes in the mail from Amazon Prime. How many of you love Amazon when they show up and you never know what's in the box? You know, sometimes. I mean, my wife's Brazilian, so I get all these boxes for all her friends from Brazil. I think I got something for me, and then I find out it's not for me. It's for her. It's for them. It's for someone in another country, and you never know what you're going to get. And today I got this blank canvas about you. And I want to just read some scriptures, and I want to show you what God says about you. Amen. Romans 8:1, it says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How many of you are in Christ? Maybe you need to get back in Christ today. Maybe it's going to be a reset day for many of us in this room. And that's okay, because if you're in Christ or you get reset into Christ today, there is now, today is now. Now, there is no condemnation in Christ. No condemnation. Amen. So if this canvas is your life right here, you're not condemned anymore. Amen. There's now no condemnation. Let's just present it. I'll finish this picture later. But now, no. Let me spell this. No condemnation. Don't you love that? You are not condemned any longer. No one rejects you. No one casts you aside. You're a new creature in Christ. In Christ, you aren't condemned any longer. Well, you messed up. You made mistakes. You should have been a better dad. You should have been a better husband. You should have made better decisions. You should have did this and that. I get it. But if you're in Christ today and you reset your life into Him today and become a new person, there's now no condemnation. This is good news. You don't have to be condemned any longer. I don't know who's condemned you. I don't know who told you you're not good enough or you would never make it or you're just never going to amount to anything, but that's not true. What Jesus said is different. It's a new day for you. His mercy is new. You might be a dad and you messed up. It's time to restart again. Maybe you're a mother and you wish you would have done things differently. Hey, it's never too late to make things right with God again. Amen. We're talking about a new you today. Amen. I want you to believe what God says about you, that God is not mad at you, but He is madly in love with you. Amen. He's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. Let that sink in. Write that down. That's a Twitter moment for you right now. God ain't mad at you. He's madly in love with you. You are a part of a new, you're a new species. You're a new creature. You're part of a new tribe. You're part of a new family. You're a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 on the screen, it says, behold, look at what it says. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone, any Latino, any Cuban, any Brazilian, come on, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You are new this morning. You are new. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Amen. Do you believe that? Look at that. There is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And you are a new creature in Christ. The old is past and the new has come. This is who you are. It's a new day. It's new. It's a new you. I love my handwriting. New you. Talking about your identity, who you are. The Bible says you've been adopted. You didn't have a family. He's a fatherless father to the fatherless. You're not a part of a tribe. You're not a part of, yes, you are. He actively chose and decided he wanted you in his family. And the scripture says he adopted you. You know how you get an adoption in the United States? You got to go to an agency. You got to go and you just got to say, hey, I want to adopt someone. It's an act of your will. It's not something that just kind of happens. It's a choice, a decision that God made about you. That before the beginning of time, he knew you were still going to mess up and still need his salvation grace. And he decided, even when we were still messed up, to send his son Jesus for you. He decided before the Alpha, the Omega, God decided long ago, even before you would make the reset today, that he would still love you and give his life for you, that he wouldn't condemn you, that he would believe the best in every person. God is love. and God loves you, and God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. And now you are a new creature, part of a new tribe. You have a new identity. You are not condemned anymore. You are new in Christ. Do you believe that this morning? This is the good news. You could be happy. God is happy. Joy comes from God. Alegría en corazón. Come on, let it out. You can say, thank you, Jesus. God is good. It says in Ephesians 1:5, having predestined us to be his own, adopted children by Jesus Christ according to his good pleasure of his will. His will was active. He said, I will decide. I want you. It wasn't a mistake. If I feel good today. It was, God says he's no respecter of persons. That you aren't and someone else isn't better than you. No, he loves you. He, with his will, decided to adopt you. You're in the family. Amen. Oh, I didn't have a family. I know. Most of us didn't. You grew up in a messed up, everyone had a crazy family. Everyone had a messed up, everyone comes from a dysfunctional family. That's what sin did. It dysfunctified everybody. It just made us all just dysfunctional. But Jesus came to make you functional again. Jesus came to make you new again. Not condemned. Welcome to the new creature in Christ. Welcome to the new, adopted by God. Welcome to the new. It's a new day for you. You gotta just receive him. Make the great reset. You are part of a family. I love Galatians 3. It says, there is now no Jew, no Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, and you are Abraham's offspring. We're talking about a family, a new you and a new family today. You are a part of Abraham's offspring, heirs. And you got an inheritance according to his promise. All of God's promises are yes and amen in Jesus. You want his promises. You want his love. It all comes from being in Christ. You want no condemnation. It all comes through being with Jesus. You are adopted. Amen. Adopted. He chose you. He loves you. Amen. You are not called to live this life alone. Doing life alone is no life. How many of you like to eat at a restaurant all alone? If you do, you're weird a little bit, kind of. I mean, I know if you got kids, that's a vacation, right? I got three. You like to go to Walmart alone? It's a vacation. But how many of you like to go see enjoy a sunset all by yourself? Go to the beach all by yourself and see the beauty of God all by yourself. Not share it with anybody. Not talk to about, man, I think I just chose the wrong illustration. All you like, I love being alone. No one bothers me. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. I got a friend, he was single for 12 years. He was like that, bro. But I'm telling you, after a while, it gets old. Gets old going to see a movie, but it's fun for a time, but in the end, it's no fun to go laugh at a comedy with no one to laugh with. Oh, that was a funny. I thought it was funny. I want to eat with people. I love eating with people because then I get their food when they don't eat theirs. I sometimes don't got to order because they ordered what I wanted and I get something else. I love being with someone. I love being married. I love being in a family. I love having kids. I love doing things together. Amen. Life is not meant to live alone. God put all these things like food, which I love, to be enjoyed with people, with friends. Amen. Cleaning a house is horrible to do alone. I just got to clean yesterday with my wife together. It's amazing. But I can't imagine what if I allowed her to do it by herself. All that work, man, my back hurts still, but imagine her back. cleaning houses alone. God never meant for you to do life alone. Genesis 2:18 says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone.'" You know, the Lone Ranger had a Tonto. Batman had Robin. The Green Hornet had Kato. Come on, somebody. Adam had Eve. Eric has Tatiana. You need friends. You need a family. You are called to a tribe. You are called apart as a heavenly kingdom. Amen. You need to enjoy each other on earth because we're going to be together forever in heaven. Amen. So you might as well learn how to do it in community now. Be a family now, because one day, for all of eternity, we're going to be a family. All of eternity, we're going to be worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For all of eternity, it's going to be His will alone. Amen. And God, though, designed that man not be alone, but do life together, be in a community together, clean houses together, do church, do life together, go through life together, not alone. When you're alone, this is where isolation and this is where depression, this is where anxiety and all types of things and lack of identity and lack of purpose take place. I don't know about you. When I'm in community, then you can go to the gym together because you don't feel like it, right, at 6 a.m. But you got that friend that's calling you. It's like, oh, I got to go, right? Just this morning, I saw a bunch of guys on the same kind of bike riding down the street, hanging out together. Everyone is looking for connection. Everyone's looking for a place to belong. Welcome to AO Church. Welcome home. Welcome to the new. You are welcome here. We want you here. You belong here. Every one of you. And God has designed a family for you to be a part of. I grew up in a divorced home, and my idea in life was always, I want a family. And I would find families throughout life that I would emulate and say, oh, I want to be like them. There's a family that I grew up with. I'd always go to their house. They always fed me. They'd always read the Bible together. They'd always sing songs together, which was kind of crazy but cool at the same time because I don't sing. But, man, they always allowed me when I was at their house to eat, to pray, to sing, to play games. It was amazing. I thought, this is why I always want to be here because I don't got it. Right? When you are with people, you will go farther, faster in your marriage, in your career, in your dreams, in your goals, in your finances, when you're part of a family. Amen. And so you need a community. You need a home. Amen. You need a group of people that you could read the Bible with and talk out loud with. What does that mean? How's that work? Where people you can debate, I like Dunkin' Donuts better than Starbucks. You need to have those conversations. If you know what I mean? You need one another. So when you have this new identity that you're new, you're not condemned, you are adopted, amen. That's your identity. So when you hit the reset button with God, He made all things new for you. No condemnation, no fear, no shame, no guilt, right? A new you, adopted, new, clean, right with God. That's what He says about you. And because when that transformation takes place, now you get put in a new family. And when there's a new family, there's new rhythms and values that that family has that I want to present to you today of what it looks like and what it's supposed to be like when you join the family of God. Now, I love the Latino culture. I mean, I love, you know, Latin America because, everything good comes from Central and South America. Amen. Colombia, Brazil. I love in Latin America, they have this thing called, what's this Cuban bread? What's it called? I just got this from La Carreta this morning. It's still a little hot. You know, I love, Yulisa, she loves this bread, right? She always asks me on the way to work, can you buy me some bread if I'm at La Carreta meeting with people? But I love, oh, come on, let me just take this out. Bread, look at that bread. Oh, my God. I wish this was like Oprah where you just, I would say, bring out the bread, but I only got one bread. Oh, my. Wow, the butter, the love. the cortaditos with evaporated milk just ministers to your body. The shot of sugar makes your life change in an instant. It's a supernatural experience, if you know what I'm talking about. But I love the culture. And see, when you come to God, there's a new culture that he brings, new values that he gives. And I'd love just Acts 2:42, because right after that Jesus did what he did on the cross, all of a sudden, now the church was born. The new family was presented. And this is what that new family, and this is what it looks like for you. You're a new person, and now you're a part of a new family. Look at Acts chapter 2, 42. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking. Come on. I love the literal translation. The breaking of bread. Come on. To the breaking of bread and the prayers. And it says, and they all who were believed were together. They had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all that were in need. Verse 46, it says, and day by day they were attending the temple together, and they were breaking bread in their homes. It was Cuban bread. And they received their food with glad and generous heart. I don't know about you. When it's time to eat, it's a good time after church today. Amen. With generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number daily. And daily people were being, this is the church. These are the new culture and values we have. It's found right here. First thing I see here as we look at this scripture, it says, is basically, we will be intensely devoted. It says they were devoted, right? They were all in. At every moment possible, they were with each other. They were reading the Bible. They were praying. It wasn't just sometimes, it was not something that maybe if I make it or hopefully if it all works out. No, they were fully devoted. Amen. What does devoted mean? To attend constantly. That's it. You know, when I grew up with my dad and when I went to church, my dad never gave me an option if I could go or not. Because in the end of the day, you are the church of Jesus Christ now. You're new now. You're part of a new family now. And so there's no thinking of, oh, this is a new value. Oh, I'll go today and decide to be something I already am. No, this is just who you are. This is a new family tradition. So there was never an option. If I make it one day. No, it's I'm in. I'm fully devoted. They were devoted to reading the Bible. And right now, today, I want to help you and join me in reading the Bible. For the next 6 days, we're going to read the book of Ephesians together. And I'm going to put this QR code that you can just pull out your phone and you could join us by scanning this. And for the next 6 days, we're going to read the book of Ephesians, 6 chapters in the next 6 days. Very easy, very simple. And when we read it, what you're going to discover that everything I'm talking about, when I'm talking about the new you, is right there. When we read, so I want us to be devoted. So take out your phones for a second and scan the code. If there's one code you want to scan, it's that code. If you don't have a phone and you can't scan a code, then what you're going to do is you got this lovely paper Bible. And what we're going to do starting tomorrow, we're going to be devoted for the next 6 days and just read the Bible together. And you're going to open your Bible to the book of Ephesians, 6 chapters, and every day read 1 chapter. And we're going to do it together. Amen. We're going to be fully devoted, church, all in, constantly persevering, continuing with steadfastness. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the scriptures. And that's one thing that's what must happen now, because you're a new person, is to be devoted to this right here. Not just to hear about this on Sunday, but to, I mean, if I only eat bread on Sunday, I'm a miserable wreck. If you only eat food once a week, bro, I'm cranky and disturbed. The Bible says you can't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Let's be devoted today, together. Let's read the Bible this week, starting tomorrow, just 1 chapter a day for 6 days. Can you do it? I challenge you. I think you can do it. I just want to create a new set of values in you. We're devoted, amen? Everyone say, I'm devoted. Husbands, hey, this is your time to lead. Hey, family, guess what we're going to do? We're going to open up our Bible and read this together and then talk about it. You can do it. It might seem awkward. It will be. Your kids are going to look at you like you're an alien. Like, what are you talking about? I never seen that Bible open in my life. Hey, it's a new day. It's a new way of doing things. Fully devoted. We will be intensely devoted church. Amen. The second thing I see in this scripture is all were together. I love in Brazil, they have this word called tamajunto. It says, we are together. Every time we like would hang out, be like, hey, brother, we're leaving, tamajunto, we're together. Every time we come together, guys, tamajunto, we're together. We're a family. Amen. We're all in. Amen. We're together. We're with you. I'm here for you. Amen. We're a family. You are not alone. We are together. We are one body, not male, no female, no Jew or no Greek. We are one in God's family. Tamajuntu. Come on, somebody. We are a new family. We have a new identity, and now we have a new family that we have. We're devoted to his teachings, to what Jesus said to do, to eating together and praying together and studying the scriptures, but we're together. When the early church started, they were together, not isolated, not alone, not, hey, I'm on the beach by myself without the, you know, not one scripture was ever written to someone on the beach. It was always written to the church. You are the church. You have decided to make AO Church your home. Because God called you here, and he placed you here to eat the word of life. Amen. And we are together. I remember when I first moved to South Florida, I visited a bunch of churches. They didn't have any signs where to go. People would barely say hi to you. You know, I would go out to eat with people in the church or drink coffee, and they're like, oh, we never do this. I'm like, what's wrong with you? What do you mean we don't do this? We got these beautiful homes with beautiful couches and Nespresso machines, and we don't have each other over. We don't, at church, when we're together, get to know each other and say hello to one another and invite someone. Hey, let's go out. I'm going out to eat today for lunch with someone here. I try to do it every week. That's what we do. We're together. Every time we gather, after, before, and after, I'm always like, God, where are we going after? But, I mean, it's like, what are we doing? Oh, we just here. No, we're together. We're not just here to hear the word only and just pray only. We're also to be together, have friends, be known by people. So when you need help, I'm here to help you. We love you. Amen. Come on. This is a place, a new place. You've made a new commitment. You've hit the reset button. Welcome to the new. Welcome to your new family. We got a new set of rhythms and values this we have. We are a generous church, irrationally generous church. Amen. It says in Acts 2:45, it says they were selling their possessions, belongings, and distributing proceeds to all as any had need. I remember growing up, I was, you know, I lived in middle class and I lived in Section 8. You know what Section 8 in? Welfare, food stamps. I would go back between those two worlds. My family was divorced. I had one parent that was middle class and had everything. Everything was good. And then I'd go to the other parent and we were living, you know, back in those days, they didn't have the EBT card like they have now. God bless the EBT card. They had the books. So we take the little booklet and get the little dollar food stamp, and then I'd go in and get a Jolly Rancher for 5 cents, so I'd get 95 cents, so I'd get gas for my mom's car, you know. And I remember growing up, and it was my birthday. My dad sent me, I think, $300 for my birthday because I was with my mom at that time, and I had all these friends, and I was going to get the new rollerblades, the brand new rollerblades, and I was excited. But I realized all of a sudden that none of my friends had any money. And so I was going to go buy these brand new rollerblades and go do it, go rollerblade by myself? Is that fun? No. Hey, friends. You know, alone? No. So you know what? I'm going to buy the $40 blades for me and all my friends. And then we're going to go hang out and play and do things together. Right? We are irrationally generous people. Whenever we know someone's in need, we're here to help. Every month we give food out. We gave out like 600 bags of food yesterday. Every month we give out food. Every time you give to people you ain't ever met that go through these, that drive here, and we give them food. Because we're a rationally generous church. When we find out someone's in need, when we did our Spanish play and we found out someone lost their job, we jumped in and helped them as a church. Because they kept coming to the play. And they didn't stop. Because they lost their job. They kept driving here and spending gas or taking Ubers or whatever they did. And we found out they didn't have a job anymore. So we helped them out. Because that's what we do. That's a value of our church. We help one another. We're here for one another. We give to each other. Amen. We're irrationally generous. That's why we give our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. We're generous givers. We don't give because we have to. We give because we want to. Because everything you do, because of you, all of this happens. Every week. Because of your generosity here at this house. Man, we turn on lights and we do all this stuff. We give out food. There's so many things. We got a youth group happening right now. We have preteens in a retreat right now where kids are getting saved and amazing things are happening. Your kids are being ministered in kids' church right now, and you don't even know who they are, but we bought all kinds of things to help them on their journey. That's all because of your generosity. Everything time you give, man, you give to so many things. You know how many churches we have under us that we send money to every week? How much money we send in missions to every month? We just went to Cuba. We helped like 10-plus churches that are under us, that we bless them. Things we find out, oh, we're going to buy the pastor a new motorbike. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're doing that all the time behind the scenes because of your irrational generosity. Anytime people need, we help them. Because of your generosity. That's why we give. And because of what you do, we can do so much more together. And that's just what we are. If you've never given, real quick, you can put this on the screen. Today, the giving slide. When we do this, give. Give to buy Zelle. Give by text. If you haven't given it, maybe you're here all month, all year, and you still haven't given. Maybe we gave the offering. Give today now. This is who you are. You are generous people. You don't give because I manipulate you to. You don't give because I pressure you to. You give because this is who you are. God gave you give. And you're a blessing to people. That's why we give our tithes. That's why we give our offerings. Everyone in this room could be doing something every week. And that's what the Bible says the church does. Every week you gather in his name. Every week we set aside something to give for his kingdom, to do his work. And that's because of you. You could give right now. I'm trying to give you action steps. I don't want to just tell you what we're supposed to do, but allow you to act. Read the Bible together. Act. Read Ephesians. Be together. Be here. Be a part of this church. Give. Be generous. These are new rhythms. Amen. I love Acts chapter 2, verse 46. We're talking about new rhythms. And day by day, they attended the temple. It says they attended the temple, Acts 2:46. Day by day. They went to the temple, which is like us today. This is the temple. Together. Tamajuntu. Together. And breaking bread. I want to take a bite. Together. Maybe I need to end this sermon so I can get that bread. Together. So what do we do? I want to invite you. Come here. I remember I grew up going to church because they gave food away, FYI. I would go to this church on Wednesday night because they would always serve spaghetti. And they had the rapping pastor, big, tall, white dude like me, and he would rap with one guy on the drums. And then he would rap Mark 11, 23, 24. It'd be like, speak to the mountain. The mountain will be removed. You know, this was a big white guy singing, rapping with a one, boom, sh, boom, sh. Gabby, it was a horrible drumming experience, but it was good back in those days. Because they had spaghetti. I went to church because they gave me hamburgers and cheeseburgers on buses when I was little. I just wanted the, I wanted those Jolly Ranchers. I wanted that, what's that, chocolate Tootsie Rolls. Yeah, they had Tootsie Rolls. They had food. And it says they would attend the temple together and they would break bread in their homes. Amen? Together. I want to invite you. We have this thing called AODNA that on May 5th, we're going to eat food together. And I want to invite everyone in this room, if you haven't eaten with me, if you're wondering, how can I be a part of this church? How can I join this new rhythm? How can I embrace the values? How can I know more? How can I take the next step and really get involved and serve and be a part of this house? That's what this is. It's going to be food, me and a bunch of people that are leaders here. And we're going to eat together and we're going to talk. And I'm just going to share you the vision of the church. And all you got to do is take out your phone and scan that code and let us know you're coming so I can make sure you got food when you come. Amen. And join, be a part of this church. Because they would go all the time. They were devoted to the temple on Sunday like this. And then they would get in each other's homes. At the AODNA, I'll tell you, how do we meet in homes? What groups can you join that are meeting every week in Miami? Amen. Amen. I love this. This is the new you, and this is your new family. When you became new in Christ, when you hit the reset, maybe you need to redo everything. Hit the redo button and make a new connection with God. You could be declared not guilty, not condemned, free of guilt and shame. Amen. Adopted. New creation. That's your identity. New. And because of this new life, this new place, now you're part of this new family. I want to invite you to be a part of it. This is what it looks like. Amen. I love 2 Corinthians 6:2. It says, for God says, you cry to me at a favorable time when the doors of welcome were wide open. I helped you on a day when salvation was being offered. Right now, God is ready to welcome you. Today, He is ready to save you. Today can be your reset. Today, you could be new. Today, you can join a new family. Amen.